Arise is a platform where God is raising an army of men that knows God, loves God, and live their lives in the light of God's purpose.
Welcome to Arise Shine Christian Network.
Spirit of the living God, thank you. Who can help like you? Who can bless like you? Who can transform like you? The Father gave you unto us as the ever-present help we require every time we need it. And you have never failed. Holy Spirit, thank you. Tonight, we thank you for what you did last week. We thank you for what you did on Wednesdays. We acknowledge you for all the testimonies. No one can do these things except you are with him. Thank you. Thank you. You are the word. You are the utterance. You are the spirit that confirms the word. And we thank you. Tonight again, our heart is open. Speak to us and cause our lives to change. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated, everyone. Let me welcome every one of us to the fellowship tonight. I appreciate every one of us for our consistency and our commitment to the building and the pruning and the making of our destiny. Let me celebrate my brother, my friend, and my colleague at work whom I invited and has honored that invitation tonight. Thank you. I appreciate this. Thank you so much for coming. And everyone that is joining us for the first time, I truly, from the depth of my heart, really honor and celebrate you. Thank you for coming tonight. And I know that what the Lord has begun in our lives, the Lord said, faithful is he who has begun a good work, he would perform it. You see, the word of God does not work for the hearers. The word of God works for those who hears and acts. Is somebody with me tonight? As powerful as the word is, by the word were all things made. And in fact, by the word is everything still being made. As powerful as God says the Lord is, God says the Lord does not perform for the person who hears it. It performs for the person who engages. That's why the angel said to Mary in the book of Luke chapter number 1. It said, faithful is she that believeth. Because there is something that believing does to you. Are we together tonight? There is something that happens to you when you truly believe a word from the Lord. You can't believe and be quiet. I need your attention tonight. You can't believe and be static. Believing compels you to take action. Everyone that believed the word of God in the scriptures had a corresponding action that they took when they believed. So the angel said, faithful, he said, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. It means the opposite side of the word, which means that the person who refused to believe the word, even though they were told her from the Lord, there is no assurance of performance. So when the word comes towards us, it becomes painful when it's just another message. Oh, powerful section. Oh, what a word. What a word. And that is all you got just by the word of God. The word of God is made for, is sent for our making. The word of God is sent for our transformation. I think I need to tell you something before I continue the teaching we began last week. Every farmer holding a seed has an expectation of a harvest. Are we together tonight? When the farmer holds the seed of a corn in his hand, what is expecting at the end of 3 months or at the end of 4 months of consistent watering and consistent cultivation of that seed. It's not just another seed of corn. Is that what he's expecting? No. A farmer is not expecting a seed of corn when he sows a seed of corn. It means when a farmer sows a seed of corn, he's expecting an harvest of maize. A harvest of maize. And most of the time, in fact, all of the time, the harvest is usually more than the seed sown. So the word of God, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, is that the word of God is the seed. Who is the sower? The Father is the sower. Every time we are exposed, every time we come one or one with the ministry of the word, another seed is sown. And the desire of the Father is that, having paid sufficient attention, your life must produce the harvest that the seed has in it. So it means, like that brother gave a testimony, it means when the seed of the law of honor was sown in our heart last week, the Father expected that it's not just going to be a word to you. You act on it immediately. Remember, as the water stirs, whosoever jump into it first, he said, is made whole of all infirmities. Not whosoever was there when the water is there. You can be there when the water stirs, and you have no experience of the miracles that the water carries. That man has been there for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda. Are we together now? Every time the pool is there, those who are careful, aggressive, and intentional enough dive into it. And the Bible says they are made whole of whatever infirmities. So may you not have the replay of the experience of that man by the pool of Bethesda. Oh, I've been around now. I've been around for 2 years. I've been around for 4 years. So I can tell you all of the messages that we had last year, and nothing in your life is presenting the result that of the testimony that men are sharing. When the word comes, it comes as a seed. And every seed has a potential for an harvest. Note what I said, the potential. A potential is not the same as an experience. For potential to become experiential, there must be some things that must be engaged. And tonight I'm going to pray that as the word comes, may it produce harvest in your life in the name of Jesus. Last week we began in our journey of consideration of all of the laws of the kingdom. We dove into a very powerful law last week, and we were only able to do a little because of the time and because of the how voluminous this particular law is. This is a law that cuts across every aspect of human endeavors. This is a law that if you as a believer in the church, if you lack the knowledge and the revelation of it, you will get a reward that will be shocking to you. If you don't understand this law in the church, the church will not say, because you are a church, we pardon you. Mm-mm. You will be treated harshly and unfairly. If you don't understand this law in the office, you will also receive the same corresponding harsh result from men. So it's a law that cannot be exhausted. It touches every areas of our lives. The law of honor. This will be the part two. How many of us have taken our time to go back and check on the part one? On the website, on YouTube. How many of us? Wow. You see how few we are. The audio is even out. How many of us have gotten the audio? Oh, okay. So those of us who have not checked it, what are you here for? To hear another speech. May the Lord help you. The Lord ministered that word through me. But I can assure you, nobody seated here today who have listened to that word more than I have. I have listened literally to that word more than 7 times. Because the Lord can pass a word through you, and then the word will not change you. Many of the promises of the Messiah coming came through the prophets of old. How many of them experienced the coming of the Messiah? The law of honor. We started last week by considering five biblical stories of men and women that dishonored or that disregard this law of honor and the results that they got as a result of this. We started by looking at the beginning of man, and we saw that the pain, the hardship, the toiling that man is going through in their lives and in our lives is as a result of dishonor to God by the first man that existed, Adam. We saw from the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, we read from verse 1, we did a quite long reading, and we saw how the Lord himself made man, put him in his presence where everything is available, and how man dishonored the law of God, and the result of it was that man was casted out from the presence where everything was available. Also, we looked at the story of Noah and the man called Ham. Ham is one of the children of Noah. How Ham dishonored his father, and the son of Ham that happens to be Canaan, from where the descendant of Africa emerges, dishonored the man Noah. And as a result of that, we saw that Noah caused Canaan, and the experience is still what we have today in Africa. We saw also the book of Genesis 16, looking at Sarai and Hagar. You remember now, Hagar was the maid of Sarai, and how that it was Sarai that started the transaction of, okay, Father Abraham, have this person, let's see if something can happen through there. And when the lady saw that she had conceived, then she began to dishonor, you know, her own maid, and all of that. We also looked at the story of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, how they communicated dishonor and the result they got for it. I didn't have much time. I would advise that you go online and listen to those messages yourself. Also, we looked at the story of Ahasuerus and the woman, the first queen called Vashti, how that a woman lost her throne, not because she committed infidelity, but because she dishonored the king. And then we did a little teaching about that. And then we look at what honor is. Honor, we said, honor is the recognition and the acknowledgement of the unique ability that is at work in a man or in a place. We said honor is the recognition and the acknowledgement of the unique ability that is at work in a man and a place. Also, we said honor is the rewarding of a man or a place for the value and the impact that they have. Is somebody still with me tonight? Just doing a recruit recap for those who are not here and for those of us who might have forgotten. Also, we look at what dishonor is. We said dishonor is the trivializing or the ignoring of the value of a place, a person, or a thing. We said dishonor is the trivializing or the ignoring of the value of a person, a thing, or a place. Bow down your heads and pray and say, Lord, let your work do a mighty work in my life. Pray. Pray. I know what I'm saying. Pray. It's an instruction. Let the area of my ignorance be unveiled tonight by the light of your word. Let every area of my ignorance, the reason for my stagnation, the reason for my frustration, let it be exposed tonight. By the ministry of your word, open my eyes to see tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Please open my eyes, let me see. Lord, you are the light of the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. You're the light of the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. All together, loving, all together, loving, all together, wonderful. Hallelujah. Please, I beg you by the mercies of God, pay attention tonight. I have seen many families suffer because of the dishonor of the father. Dishonor will not pardon you. It's like a pregnant woman. Every time you dishonor, wait for the result. Most of the time, it doesn't take long before you see the result of dishonor. I told you last week, I said, everywhere you see failure, everywhere you see closed door, everywhere you see ashy, dishonor is responsible. Believe me, sir. Everywhere you have been given access before, but suddenly the access is shut. Everyone that once received you, every relationship that you once had and benefited from, but all of a sudden, it has become a thing of the past in your life. Dishonor is responsible. It might not mean that you meant to dishonor the person, but it simply means the person received something from you as a communication of dishonor. Dishonor a man, he will shut his gate at you. Dishonor an organization, they will send you out of the office. I don't care how prayerful you are, if you don't understand this law, life will be difficult for you. I have seen many believers who will fast and pray, go to several mountains, but they will not honor the basic laws of life like diligence. They will be surprised that the more they pray, the more broke they become, because laws of life does not replace each other. There is a law that produces everything you desire, because God works by law. So please pay attention tonight for the word that will be coming to us. I have tasted of the fruit that this word brings. I have tasted of the benefit that you receive when you understand this law. There is no man that can reject my presence. And this is not because of the anointing most of the time. I don't meet you and then begin to tell you, oh, this is who I am. I don't do all of that. There is something that when you give a black man, they will give you access. It's a universal key. There is something that when you stand before the white and you give them, they will give you access. It's called honor. You don't honor a man and then he dishonors you in turn. No, sir. Even the area boys you call at the garage, when you give them honor, you will watch how it opens every door. Life is difficult if you lack the understanding of this law. Haven't told us what honor is. Haven't told us what dishonor is. There are three entities. Listen carefully. If you are ever going to matter to this generation, if you are ever going to get to the platform of greatness, if you would ever amount to anything, there are three entities you must always communicate honor to. There are three entities. Hear me, brothers and sisters, tonight. There are three entities that every time consistently so, you must communicate honor to us. Number one, honor to God. Honor to God. 1 Samuel chapter 2 And we're starting. Life givers, please, I need you to be awake with me today. I have a lot to say, a lot to do, but our time is so fast spent. Please walk with me very fast, please. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. God himself is speaking here. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. Can you change this background for me and let me position it well? I don't want this background. Thank you. If your scripture is projected or you have it on your screen, can you work on it? Let's take this together. Are we together now? 1, 2, go. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, now wait, I have told you and taught you that every time you pay attention to the ministry of the word, you watch the context, the way it has been presented. Is somebody with me now? Just pay attention. Don't worry about what is happening around you. That you, most of the time, when we were going to study the king Ahasuerus, you notice the way the Bible began the book of Esther. It said, in the day of a king. And it said, the king Ahasuerus. Then he opened the bracket. He said, this is that king that is the king and the ruler over 127 provinces. You know why? There are people who are king over a little village. So that you don't bring this king into that class. He's telling you the pedigree. He's telling you the ability. He's telling you the extent of his majesty. This is again another example as such. He said, therefore, the Lord God of Israel, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. God himself made a vow at a point in time to this very man that he's now speaking to. I said that you will walk before me. I said that all of your house will walk before me. He said, but now. So something can happen that will make God to change his mind. Hear me, brothers and sisters. That God can give you a strong blessing and then you do something and God will say no. Even though I don't, my word doesn't return back to me void. But on this case, I will turn this word and I will not perform it anymore. Even though I've said your house, yourself will walk before me as a priest forever. He said, but now, the Lord is saying again, far be it from me. How can I make a promise to a man at a point in time? How can I make commitment to a man at a point in time? The Lord that does not repent, the Lord that does not change his word, the Lord that does not deny himself, but suddenly he said, it is true that I gave you that promise, but based on what you have done now, far be it from me. Far be it from me, for those who honor me. Now he's telling you the reason why he can make a commitment and then make a U-turn at it. It's telling you the reason why he can make a promise and said, I have called you and I will send you to the nations and the nations will hear your voice. And suddenly you go to him and say, Lord, are you not sending me? And say, me, I can't send you again. It's telling you one of the things that men can do. Permit me to say, sir, that it appears as though God can make do with some other sins and the flaws of men, but God cannot make do with men that dishonor him. Far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. God is speaking now as the Almighty. Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me, what will I do for them? I will lightly esteem. Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me, I will lightly esteem. So your journey, and at the back of your mind, every time, every day, no matter what you become in life, you should never forget that every time God is worthy and deserving of your honor. Honor to God. Honor to God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. Luke 10 and verse 27. I apologize for the scripture projection. I'm sure they're working on it. It will soon come up now. Luke 10 and verse 27. Are we all there? Can we all say Luke 10 and verse 27? open your Bible and look at it. If you don't have your Bible, open your palms and look at it by faith. Now let's read it together again. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. Look at what the Bible says here. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Stop. What does this word mean to you? You know, many times ministers and believers will charge the people with by saying, love the Lord, love the Lord. Or many times, even in worship, we lift up our hands and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. But what does that word mean to you every time you say you love the Lord? Because the word love is not a theory. The word love is practical. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Either in human relationship or in divine relationship, love is not theory. Love is an action word. You can't claim to love him and then you do things that does not display love. You see, many of the things we use in worship are a scam. For instance, you don't worship God by saying, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. No, that's not how to worship God. The word worship is a communication of something. It's not by saying, Lord, I worship you. It's like me saying, my dear, I give you money. I give you money. I give you money. Is that how you give somebody money? No. When you want to communicate worship to God, you find the names, you find the things, you find the speakings of his wonders, and then you begin to declare it. Is somebody with me? You don't need to say, I'm worshiping God. If you are doing all of this, you're already in worship. Who is like unto you in all the world? Who can be compared to you? You who is glorious in holiness. You who by your mighty hand you brought out your people from Egypt. You parted the Red Sea before them. You don't need to say, oh Lord, I'm worshiping. Mm-mm. When you begin to communicate all of that, you're already in worship. So the Lord is saying also here that you must love the Lord with all your heart. What is love to God? In summary, love is honor to God. Don't worry, you will learn how to communicate that tonight. But first, you must know that this word can interchange each other by saying, you shall honor the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Look at the next thing it says, and your neighbor as yourself. You see the communication of the word of God now. That in keeping and in working with God, there is something that God expects from you every time. He expects your honor. Listen to me. It is your honor that will birth your offering. It is your honor that will birth your attention. It is your honor to him that will birth the keeping of his word. Many claim to love God, but display dishonor to him. You must begin your journey in life. You will ever matter to in this life. In fact, if you will ever matter in eternity, honor must be unto God. Our honor for God does not just have relevance on the earth. Even our life in eternity is based on the honor that we have for him. The greatest dishonor, like I told you at the close of the meeting last week, the greatest dishonor to God is rejecting the givers with love for you. Rejecting Jesus is the greatest dishonor. And you've heard me say it times and again, the only reason why any man will show up in hell, the only reason why people are going to hell now, is because they reject the gift of love. Not because they were fornicators, not because they were armed robbers. They were armed robbers because they reject the love. Nobody received the love that God offers and continue in his life of sin. When I say honor God, what does it mean? Number one, honor God means honor his person. Honor the person of God. It will amaze you to know that many Christians don't honor God. Many believers don't honor God. Many of us behave as though God is our mate. In fact, the way we behave in the church is a direct report card of the level of our honor to him. I'll get there. How many of us will stand before the governor in a meeting and chewing gum? How many of us will stand before the governor in a meeting and say, "Sir, 1 minute. Hello, hello." Yet we communicate with our mouth. Oh Lord, I honor you. Oh Lord, but our display, our disposition is a direct report of our dishonor to him. Are you aware of who God is? Have you sat down and take a thought on who we are talking about every time we mention the word God? We are not talking about some earthly king somewhere. We are not talking about some president that reigns for a dispensation somewhere. We are not talking about some mighty man somewhere that has the ability to fight and to win. We are talking about God Almighty. Hear me. If the whole of Nigeria sleep and never wakes up, it does not reduce God a bit. How much more your family? Many people have died right now. Many people are dying right now. Somebody just breathed his last breath right now, somewhere in the world. Take note how it does not even matter. Tomorrow, we will still gather, even as we have gathered already here, and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He is God all by himself. He's not in the class of any man. I want you to develop a culture of reference and adoration to the person of God. How can you say God is in a place and then you misbehave in that place? God, not the president. God, not the governor. God, the maker of the heaven and the earth. Do you know what it means to create? You have not seen creation. What you have seen is invention. Everything you see around you is invented. The only master creator is the Almighty God. Science discovered oil. They didn't create oil. Science discovered technology. And all of the technological advancement is taking advantage of what the maker, the creator, already made. Let me give you a little rundown of who this God is. He made all things, and yet he was not made. Listen. He knows the beginning of all things, yet he has no beginning. He knows the end of every king, every kingdom, every dispensation, yet he has no end. You can't say this is where God began, yet God can say this is when you began. Are you aware that he was not appointed? There was no council of elders in heaven that said, "Let us make you king." No. Many times we sing that song, even though in this family we are singing it now in the light of the word of God. We sing that song and crown him. Nobody crowned him. He was crowned before the foundation of the world was made. Not by any man. It's God all by himself. For your information, he doesn't live in heaven. He's bigger than the whole heaven. How can a creator live in his creature? Heaven is one of his creature. He's bigger than the whole of heaven. It's bigger than the whole of the earth. Your mind cannot undo the extent of his mightiness. Yet, he chose to live in you. Let me ask you some questions because of your dishonor and the far away of honor to him. Can you explain to me how liquid becomes mature man from the womb of a woman? Can you tell me how sperm develop bones? And then the bones begin to grow. Tell me what formula produced that. When you were born as a baby. And suddenly something happened to you, you become who you are now. Can you give me the scientific calculation that birthed that? Where is the beginning of the air that we breathe? Where does it come from? Where is it going? What is the source of the sea? What is the source of the sea? Have you ever located the pillars that holds the heaven up? Who is the custodian of the moon and the sun that rings the bell and brings the sun into display, and then at night it brings it down and brings the moon into display? Who is the custodian of these things? Where is the source of the rain? Can you travel into the heavens and see the reservoir where the rain is stored? I need you to grow to a level. You see, we don't meditate anymore in the body of Christ. And that's why our level of honor for God has reduced drastically. If you give attention to meditation, you will know that God is not your mate. No. No. A king stood in the time of the apostle and dishonored God. Guess what happened to him? God did not strike him. The Bible says an angel struck him and he was consumed by womb. By one. Nebuchadnezzar, one of the greatest kings that existed, stood and made a confession that sounded as dishonor. The Bible says immediately he became an animal, a beast of the field. Dishonor can reduce a man to animal. Dishonor, you can be walking around as a man, but dishonor can give you the experience of an animal. You know what they do to an animal? They beat him from this place, he run to that place, they kick him from this place, they treat him unfairly. Until life kills him. He's God all by himself. He does not need your assistance to be God. He does not need your praise to be God. He does not need your worship to be God. That we are given access to worship this king is a great privilege. The greatest privilege given to humanity is the access to worship King. Don't make the mistake of Lucifer. Don't let familiarity makes you ignore the power, the potency of this great majesty. He's God. He's God. Psalm 8. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 3. I honor you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. Eleumare. I worship you, Lord. I honor you, Lord. I adore. What the Bible says, Psalm 8, let me go read from verse 1 to verse 3. You read verse 1, let me help you read verse 2. Are we all set now? It's projected. Can you look up the screen now? With a very loud voice of adoration, even to that king. Read it 1, 2, go. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Give me verse 3, which is the last verse. It said, when I consider your heavens, this is a man given to meditations. When I consider your heavens and the works of your finger, many of the time we don't have a deep thought towards the makings of God. Can you ask yourself, 2-8 billion people on earth, and we are all breathing hair, and there is no day that we have scarcity of hair. Everything the government provided go on scarcity once in a while. Everything man manages go on scarcity once in a while, but we have never had scarcity of hair. That we say, oh boy, today there is no more hair. Oh, let me go and take as much as I can. People sit there close to each other here. Nobody is covering and say, no, don't come to my territory. This is my own here. No. He made everything in abundance. Yet, he remains the same. When I think about your heavens, when I look at the things that your hands have made, give me that scripture. When I think about your heavens, when I look at the things that your hand has made, the moon, come on now, and the stars. Many times, you know, I have a philosophical thinking. Many times I will just sit and begin to think on some things. Do you know the day I took a study on the galaxy, I discovered that our geography teacher need to repent. They taught us that there are nine planets of nine continents. Is it nine planets now? Nine planets. If you are a teacher here, may the Lord forgive you. And don't blame them. They did well. They taught us as much as they know. They said there are nine planets, and if you refuse to write it, they will fail you. Until I began to study and discover there are not actually nine planets. There are as infinite planets as the wisdom of God is. I discovered that each of the Milky Ways has billions of stars. Billions of stars. And there are actually some stars that are bigger than the whole earth. Go and do a research. Yet, someone is in charge of all this. Bible says he knows the name of all of the stars. Billions. You know the day I fear the Lord? He said he numbered the number. He knows the number of the hairs on my head. Even me that carry it up and down, I can't attempt to count it. Yet, he knows the number. Is that the person to dishonor? Is that the person to joke with? Is that the person to behave anyhow towards? Is that the person to not love and reference and adore? He knows your future. What is future to you is his presence. He knows the beginning before the beginning began. And in fact, before the beginning began, he already knows the end. It's not one of your confused friends saying, "Oh boy, we don't know tomorrow." No, sir. Both tomorrow and today is in his hands. Honor is person. Number two, under honor to God. Number two. Just make sure you are taking a note of it so that you refresh yourself when you get back home. And then get the message when it's... Or go back to the YouTube and see the message. Number two, under honor to God. Number one is honor to his person. Number two is honor to his laws and his ways. This is the pain of humanity. This is the pain of the believer. This is why many suffer rejection. This is why many suffer pain. They refuse to honor the laws of God and they pay for it dearly. Do you know that many of our pains and suffering is as a result of dishonor to the laws of God? Everything on the earth operates based on law. When you dishonor any law, you will get the result immediately. Hear me again and again. Life runs on law. Life does not have a favorite. Life is fair to everyone that understands the laws and engages the law. Listen to me. It may look unfair to you because some of the people you see in your generation, their parents already paid the price by aligning with the law. So while you are trying and you are sitting at home for 3 months because of ASU strike, somebody is going to school to a private school and say, "Your mom, this is no balance." It balance. If your parent had paid the level of attention that his parent paid, they would have been able also to push you ahead from the ASU strike. But we believe it's coming to an end very soon. But life is fair. It operates on law. There are spiritual laws that once you break them, your generation will pay for it. It does not matter what they look like. They may be simple and basic, but they are laws. Do you know the law of gravity is not complicated? It's as simple as anything. If I try to dishonor gravity here, I will fall down with the anointing. It doesn't matter if you are operating under the anointing. You are healing the sick and casting out devil. And suddenly you do not know that there is a gully there. If you enter there, except another law is activated, you will fall down and break your leg. Gravity is there. Not for man. Listen. Gravity was not designed for some set of people. You notice that. So the law of God is not designed for some people. And say, "Okay, you people can disobey the law. You will live a good life." No, sir. The law is universal. And their reward is consistent. Also, their punishment is consistent. Psalm 19 from verse 7. Psalm 19 from verse 7. It's projected. I love it when we read it together as the body of Christ. Can we look up now? It's projected with a loud voice. Can we read it now? 1, 2, go. Stop. The law of the Lord is what? There is no unfairness in him. It's perfect. It's perfect. The law is perfect. In Nigeria, the law is perfect. In America, the law is perfect. In Uganda, the law is perfect. Anyone that subscribes to this law, we have results. Let's read again from the beginning. 1, 2, go. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see that now? The law is perfect. Another word for law is testimonies. That if you pay attention to the testimony, no matter how foolish you are, there is a wisdom. There is wisdom that will be impacted on you. I told you how foolish I was in life. That even me know I was foolish. But when I pay attention to the ministry of his laws, I see how wise a man becomes by paying attention to the laws of God. The world may argue it, but you stick to the law. Stick to it because your life and your success depends on it. You may not understand it, but don't compromise it. The law of the law is perfect. Perfect in the day. Perfect in the night. Give me the next verse. He said, the statue, all of these things are the same. Just use it and playing with words. Synonyms, using synonyms to communicate the same thing. He said, the statue of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Another word, the commandment of the Lord is pure. What does it do? Enlighten. So it brings enlightenment. It brings enlightenment. Do you know that every man is blind to the degree to which they have access to light? Every man is blind. Every man is foolish to the degree to which you have access to light. There are certain areas of your life seated here right now. I don't mean to insult you that you are still experiencing some level of foolishness there. And the result you get every day shows that we are foolish in this thing. For instance, I don't know how to drive. I pick the car key and I try to move the car. What do you think will happen to me? I would have accidents and I will not say, oh, the wishes I've done. No, my foolishness in that area bears the result of the accident I've had in that area. There is a way you know when you walk in foolishness. The result shows. There is a way you know when you walk in wisdom. The result also shows. Don't claim to be wise when your life gives you the result of foolishness. Give me the scripture again, sir. Next verse now. It said, the fear, all of these things are the same. Playing with different words to communicate the same thing. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In other words, everywhere you go, every generation, the law of the Lord remains the same. Abraham honored the law of tithing, and Abraham increased. If you honor the law of tithing in this generation, you will experience the result of Abraham. Is somebody still with me tonight? Give me the scripture again, sir. Thank you. It said, the judgment of the Lord are true and righteous together. Truth and righteous together. Next verse. It said, more to be desired are they than gold. In other words, get gold without understanding the law of God. The gold will perish in your hand. History is filled with many people that access wealth and did not honor the law of God. And now how they went back to penury. More to be desired. Scripture, sir. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Next one, he said, sweeter also are they than honey and than the honeycomb. Last verse, verse 11. It said, moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in the keeping of them, there is what, sir? In the keeping of the law, there is great reward. It means, in the dishonor of the law, there is also great reward. In the keeping of the law. In the keeping of the law. So your honor first must be to God. Your honor first must be to God, to his person, and then to his laws. His laws are shrouded. Listen, when we talk about law, we are quick to say we are not under law, we are under grace. That's for baby Christians. And I tell you the truth, I've said it here before, but let me say it again. Do you know that the concept of freedom is actually a lie? No man is free. Are you aware now? No man is free. The concept of freedom is actually to the degree of the liberty that is available in the master you have submitted to. So Romans chapter 6 said, now there is no, therefore now, no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not under the law of sin and death. What's the next thing he said? But we are under the law of life and righteousness. So when we were saved from the law of sin that brings death. Were we sent to live a free life? No. We were immediately cast under the law of life that comes through righteousness. You see that now? So the life, the kingdom, world, the earth, everything you see run based on law. Honor to God, to his person. Honor also to his laws. Number two, entity to honor. The first is honor to God. Number two, entity to honor is honor to man. Say honor to man. Yeah. Honor to man. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. If God's blessing you, say amen. 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. The Bible is speaking to us again. And I want you to read the first three words that appears before you with a loud voice. If advising yourself with that word. Are we ready now? One, two, read it out. No, you didn't advise yourself. You will call your name. And you will, if I do like this, do it. So that the moment you want to forget, you remember it again. One, two, shout it out. Allah reward you. Honor all people. This is what the Lord says. Put down your hand. Honor all people. Give me the old King James. He said, Yahweh used the word men. The old King James. Honor all people. I thought it's only God that is worthy of honor. Mm-mm. The same scripture, the same law, the same word that says honor God is now saying honor all people. So under honor to men, number one, you must honor all men. Listen carefully. Every man is deserving of your honor. Every man. The little, the medium, the aged, the adult, any class, the poor, the rich, the educated, the illiterate, any man, the politician. Many of us will begin to react now. The politician, the musician, the Nollywood actors, the pastors, every man is deserving of your honor. This is what the Bible says. Give us that scripture again. Honor all men. Look at what it says. Love brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Look at the different laws. These are laws. These are principles to walk by. So the first is honor all people. Second, love brotherhood. You can say, no, me, I will only choose honor, fear God. The moment I fear God, every other one can go there. Mm-mm. They are all in the same category. So it means if you fear God and dishonor men, you don't fear God. Why do we honor all men? Number one, every man is made in the image of God. If you have found a man that was not made in the image of God, you can dishonor that person and you will go scot-free. But if any man you meet is made in the image and the likeness of God, then they are deserving of your honor. Every man is made in the image of God. Every man. Every man. Number two, why do we honor all men? Every man is the representative of God. Every time you see any man, know that you are seeing God. In fact, this was how the book of the Apostle John told us in his epistle, the first John. He said, how can you claim to love God whom you did not see and not love and hate the brother whom you see? So if you cannot love the brother you see, he's saying you cannot love God. Jesus said it this way. Anyone that honor you anyone that received you also have received me, and everyone that received me have received the one that sent me. So every man is the representative of God. Make it your lifestyle. All men deserves your honor. Under honor men, what set of things do I need to do again? Number two, honor specific men. There's a special honor, and I will teach you all that. There's a general honor to all men, but there are some special categories. Special honor to communicate to special categories of men. And I will show you from the scripture. Honor specific men. Why? For what they represent. Honor specific men for what they represent. Honor specific men for what they represent. Number one amongst these is your parents. Your parent deserves your honor. They are the channel that allows your existence. Your spirit can remain with God. If your mother aborted you, you would go back to God. Is somebody with me tonight? Honor your parents. Honor your parents. It's very important. The Bible did not say, Ephesians chapter number 6. Give us Ephesians chapter 6. Let's begin from verse 1. Thank you, sir. See what the scripture says. What did it say? Advise yourself again. 1, 2, go. No, don't play pranks on me. I know you don't like this kind of word. You will read it again. 1, 2, go. Stop. The word, you will learn later that the way you show honor, one of the ways you show honor is by obeying them. Listen. We live in a social media age, and I'm amazed by the level of deceit that is going on the social media. Somebody just dishonor his mother. Maybe the mother say, please help me put these things there, or help me fetch water for Risa. I cannot fetch any water. You now remember his mother's day. You now go on your status. You post your mommy's picture there and say, this is my diamond, my gold, my silver. In your mind, you are deceiving God, Abby. The angels are shaking their head against you. The woman you speak to harshly at home. The woman whose word never holds ground to you. Before she say one, you say 10. You now post a picture on social media. Who is deceiving who? Honor is beyond all of those paraphernalia and the display that we do. No. Honor is first better than the heart. Honor is first better than the heart. Disobeying this law has cost many people their life. Give us that scripture again. Ephesians chapter 6. Give me the scripture again. It said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Give me the next verse. It said, honor who now? Honor your father and your mother. Wait. It did not say honor your father that deserves it. It did not say honor your mother that deserves it. Hear me again and again. There is no condition to communicating honor. Even when in your own judgment, they are not deserving of your honor. The Bible says, honor them. And to be a believer, you must obey the scriptures. If you disobey this line, you are disobeying God. And if you disobey God, you dishonor him. Remember, that was the mistake that the man Adam made. He said, honor your father and your mother. Listen carefully. There is hardly anything you want to say your father has done to you that I cannot relate with by my experience of fatherhood. So I'm not speaking with somebody that does not have emotional sensitivity here. I know what I'm talking about. I know what it means for your father to look at you at age 14 and say, I know you are going to fail in life. I'm only concerned that you don't rub your failure on this your siblings. What can be more deteriorating to a 14-year-old boy that is just picking up his life and is just believing and picking things off to believe that the future will be great? And then you hear that word as a male child from the person who is your number one role model in the family. So I'm not speaking from a point of insensitivity to your emotions. I know what your excuses are, but this is the scripture of God that cannot be broken. Honor your father and your mother. Give me that scripture again, sir. Honor your father and your mother. Keep the scripture there, please. Honor your father. Honor your mother. Don't honor one and dishonor the other. Apostle, you don't know my father. My father is very stupid. I agree. But your father deserves your honor. You don't know him. Somebody that drinks around, somebody that misbehaves around. I agree. I sympathize with you. But the Bible cannot be bent. The laws of God cannot be shapen to your own condition. Somebody that left me when I was 2 years old, and my mother has been the one taking care of me. It was the stories and stories that I have heard. He even called him one day when I was sick and I was coming near death. He said, if I want to die, I should die. That person, I should honor him. I sympathize with all of your pains. I sympathize with all of your experience. But I have chosen to live my life based on the dictate of the word of God. Honor your father and your mother. I have had people who died prematurely because they dishonored this law. In fact, when God wants to give you the benefit and access and the experience of long life, this is one of the first laws He will open your eyes to see. When God wants you to experience wellness on the earth, if you have not caught the revelation of this scripture, you may not experience wellness on the earth. Because the word of God cannot be broken. The word of God cannot be broken. If you don't understand this scripture, if what I'm saying now is falling to your death there, you will meet me 5 years' time and I will meet you there in pain. I can assure you. You know, time is a revealer. Time will reveal what we all believe. There was a time in my life in tears. There was a time in my life in brokenness. I had to honor this word also in my life. It was not an easy decision. I fasted many nights. I could not eat. I was bitter and sorrow. I was depressed and silenced. Lord, you mean all of your promises for my life will not come to manifestation because of this man that was not responsible, because of this man that made me go through pain in life, because of this man that is not even apologetic for the evil he has done. He never felt remorseful for all of the pain he has caused me. He has never called me one day and said, I'm sorry for everything you have to go through in life. And every time I had to talk him into seeing that he has done me wrong, he ended up by shouting and by cursing me. How can you say the promises of the greatness of my life is at the mercy of disobedience? He said, son, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word cannot pass. It's a law. It's a law. You can choose to honor the law and get the reward. You can choose to dishonor it and get the reward also for dishonoring it. But either of the ways, either of the choices, you will always have the reward of it. God does not impose things on us. He offers us life and advises us. I set before you this day, cursing and blessing, life and death. Out of his love, he said, choose life. He said, but whatever you choose, I will honor. Honor your father. This might be the reason for the many pains many of us are going through in life now. This might be the reason why doors are shut against you now. You think you are progressing in life, but if God really opened your eyes to see where he wants to take you compared to where you are only scratching the surface. Honor your father. I know that Africa is plagued with a plethora of irresponsible fathers. I know. I have had my fair share of this experience in Africa, but that does not also take the place of the word of God. I vow never to deceive you nor massage your ego. This is the word of God. Honor your father. Honor your mother. Look at what it says after, which is the first commandment. Imagine. So if you don't honor this, all of the other law you claim to have been obeying is a lie. It's the first commandment with promise. What is the next? Give me the next verse. He said, what is the promise that comes with this commandment? Read it for yourself so that you can know it's a serious business. And now tell me if it's worth it for you to go through pain just because of that man who has done many evil to you. 1, 2, read it out. Stop. What does it mean? Invariably. No, now, this is the word of God. This word was written before my great-grandfather was given birth to. I didn't contribute to the writing of this word. Honor your father and your mother. What is the result? That it may be well with you. Dishonor your father and your mother. What will happen? Read it, say it loud. Honor them. Not for them, but for your life. Honor them from your heart. Honor her. I know your mom is now old and vulnerable. If you say go this way and say no, I'm going that way, she does not have the will power, she does not have even the financial capacity to make decision for you anytime. But that does not bring you to the state of dishonor. My generation, be very careful. Be very careful. Be very careful with your stone head, so that your stone head will not bring you to a rocky experience. Many times we believe we know what we are doing, until after 10 years we have been walking around the circle as a foolish man. I know what I'm doing. Nobody should tell me what to do in this house. Be careful. What an adult sees when they sit down, a young child will not see it even when you climb the mountain. Be careful. Be careful. Honor your father. Honor your mother. That it may be well with you. If that is the only thing that is attached to this promise, it would have been small. And should be somebody will go throughout in life. Hey, I prefer to suffer than to honor this man. Look at the next thing that will happen. Give me the scripture. I prefer to suffer. If it is, hey, I will suffer. Look at what the Bible says. It said that it may be well with you. What is the next thing? Read it for me. 1, 2, go. Brothers and sisters, this is too hard. It's too hard. It's too hard. It doesn't worth it. No matter what your father has done. In the kingdom and in life experience, we have stories of women like Joyce Meyer, who was raped by her own father at a very little age. And God had to tell her that I have great promises for you, but you have to forgive this man and honor him. What else can be more devastating from a father to a daughter? That a father, out of wickedness, raped his own daughter, and was never remorseful for it at once. The story of that woman says she did it again. He said he did it again and again until it almost become a normality now from my father to me. Yet God said you have to forgive him and honor him. Had she not forgiven that man and honored that man, you will never have had the name Joyce Meyer. You answer me, sir. Is your destiny worthy of exchanging it for this man? The man is done. You have a life. There is a voice speaking over you. There is a promise of God over your destiny. Can you trade this promise for the pain that has come already from your father? These are my contemplations when the Lord spoke to me about this. I asked myself, you have shown me the visions of the nation. You have spoken to me that I'm a voice for my generation. You've shown me the many things that you will do in and through my life. The many doors and the many access that you will give to me in life. But why can't you just take away this condition? Love you. Lord, you know I love you from the depth of my heart. I will do anything for you. Ask me for anything. I will do it. But not this one. He says, son, it is that one that I want. If I stop here tonight, I'm fulfilled. Because this is where the major problem of my generation is. I sympathize with you that if I really sit down to hear the stories of the pain that you and your mother had to go through because of the irresponsibility of your father, I would cry. I know I would cry. We would all cry together and wipe our tears. But the word of God will not change. Our tears will not change the word of God. Our crying will not change the word of God. Our education will not change the word of God. Our civilization will not change the word of God. In fact, our relocation from Nigeria to any part of the world will not bend or change the word of God. This is why many die at their prime age. This is why many try and never prevail in life. Honor your parents. Some of us, honoring them, we begin by forgiving them. You have to. Ain't yes? Yes. But you have to. You have to. You have to. Many of us will leave this place tonight, and like that dear brother did, you'll have to send a quick text message to them. Daddy, just to tell you that you are the best father I will ever have. If there is any way I've behaved rudely or harshly towards you, please forgive me. You are indeed my father, and I love and honor you. Since you may send that message and not get reply. That was the message the Lord asked me to send in my time. I didn't get reply. I didn't get a message back for it, but I got a change of life as a message from God that you have honored a law that cannot be broken. I got open doors as a message from God that you have honored my law and I will honor you. Remember, whosoever that honors me, I will honor. Whosoever that dishonors me, I will lightly esteem. Number three. I said honor, number two under honor men, I said honor specific men. And I've talked about your parents. Also men of God. Honor man of God. Don't join the banks of those who speaks against man of God. Can I tell you that man of God are not perfect? You will meet many of them that have in your experience with them. You will know that even the devil cannot do this. But that does not give you access to speak against them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The fact that they are called men of God does not make them God. Always remember, they are first man before they are of God. Expecting perfection from any man is like expecting something that is not real. No man will ever be perfect in his body. No. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 22. Let me tell you something you should never forget about the man of God. Hebrews 12:22-24. Look at what the Bible says there. It said, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and to heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels. Notice what is there. Angels. And to the general assembly of the church. Now it's talking about the church. The firstborn who were registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all. You notice what he called God? The judge of all. No man is a judge of the other. God is the judge of all. Next thing, he said, don't go away. He said, to the spirit of just men made perfect. Who are the just men? The men of God are the one referred to here as the just men. But he said, even though they are men of God, they have to be made perfect. It is said to the spirit of just men that is perfect, because the just men are not perfect. It is when they die, or when Christ comes, or when they get to the heavens, that they are made perfect. Don't ever expect perfection from any man. Apostle, you are not like them. I love you. You may be joking. Have you seen me when I'm angry before? Have you seen me when I'm... Have I been angry with you before? Many of the things, unrealistic expectations from men. You better be careful. If you come close to men of God, you will see the flesh dimension of them. But don't make the mistake of harm so that you will not receive the curse. Every man has a flesh that they are still working on. Giving you access does not make you begin to talk about them as powerful, as holy, as great as our father Baba Adebuye is. If you live with him as a man now for 1 week, you will, if you are not careful, you will say, you mean this is the great man of Baba Adebuye? Not because you will see him committing immoralities, not because you will see him sleeping around with men, but there is always flesh in every man. Paul said, not that I am sufficient in myself, for my sufficiency is of God. Elijah was powerful, yet he was temperous. What a combination. Peter was anointed, yet Peter was unstable. As anointed as Peter was, Peter was still with Paul, and when they were eating with the people who are not circumcised, and when other apostles came, Paul said, Peter began to wash his hand and began to move with them. The anointed apostle Peter. So don't have access to the flesh of great men and then make it a basis for your dishonor to them. Honor men of God. Number three on the entities to honor because of our time. Oh God. Honor principles, systems, and structures. Number one is honor God. Number two, honor men. Number three, honor principles, systems, and structures. Romans chapter 13. We read verse 1 and then we skip to verse 7 and verse 8. Romans 13, verse 1 first, and then read 7 and 8. It's projected. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Now, the word governing authorities here can mean a man, but the word governing authority also can mean principles. There are governing principles that governs every result that man desires. For instance, if you want to gain admission into an average university in Nigeria, there are certain grades they would expect from you from certain subjects. Is that true? You can't have F9 in maths, F9 in English, F9 in biology, F9 in chemistry, and then the rest you have A1. And you say, I believe my God. With God, nothing is impossible. I want to study medicine and surgery. Does that make sense? I know you speak fire when you pray in tongues, but F9 math, F9 English, F9 biology, even if they give you admission, God will have to withdraw and say, this one is no, we can't work with this. There is a system that is already put in place. You know what principle does to life? Principle makes life, the outcome of life, predictable. It determines the outcome of life. Principle determines the outcome of life. So when you dishonor principle, you already know what you receive. When we were in the secondary school, when the elderly ones want to encourage us about study, there is a common phrase they use. They will say, he who fails to prepare, finish it with me, he who fails to prepare does what? No, now say it loud. Good. So the moment you're having an examination coming towards you, and you say exam will do itself, those are, you're already preparing for failure. So when I grew up and I began to meditate on that word, you know what I discovered? That you did not really fail the day the result came out, even though that's the day you received the result of your failure, but that was not the day you failed. Is somebody with me now? It's like a lady sleeping around, finally she's infected with a disease, or she had unwanted pregnancy. Now she's not gonna say, oh, my life. That's not the day to cry. The day to cry is the day you are sleeping around with guys, students who looks at the CGPA and said, this lecturer does not like me, oh, 5 carryovers. That's not the day you fail, oh. The day you failed is the day you refuse the law that governs success. So principles makes life predictable. Principles determines the outcome of life. Also systems. System legitimize the operations. Like I said last week, you might be a good driver, but without a driver license, you can't get a driver job anywhere. In fact, if you are a good driver and you don't have a driver license, every time you see road safety, what happens to your heartbeat? No, be sincere now. What happened to your heartbeat? You are looking for what corner and say, okay, is it how we rough this here or we turn to one corner? You are a good driver, but you have not been certified by that systems. One thing I would love to talk about the system, under system, that you truly must have great honor. You see, there are systems and there are systems. There are systems established by men. When you dishonor those systems, you will get denial and hardship from men. There are systems established by God. When you dishonor that system, you can lose your life. One of such systems is the church. The church is a system organized by God. And for dishonoring the church, the Bible says many have died. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 9 to from verse 29 to 30. I adore you, Lord. Ele Dumare. I honor you, Lord. Look at what the Bible says. It's talking about the church. And yet look at what it says. It said, for he who eats and drink, talking about the communion that we take in the body, the flesh and the blood of Jesus. Are we together now? He said, he who eats and drink in an unworthy manner, eats and drink judgment to himself. He who eats in an unworthy manner. He will tell you what unworthiness means now. He said, eat and drink judgment to himself. What does it mean to be unworthy? Not that I've committed sin. Mm-mm. He who eats, not discerning the Lord's body. He who eats communion, not honoring the body of Christ. That's what the word means. Not honoring the church. You eat communion without honor to the church. He said you heed judgment to yourself. This is why I say, no matter what is happening on social media, don't join them to speak against church. You may not go there, but don't speak against church. Don't form a carcass of rebels in your church and say what the pastor has done is not good. Have you seen it? Have you seen it too? Have you seen it? Don't judge yourself with condemnation. Give me the next verse of that scripture. It says, for this reason of dishonoring the body, look at what happened. Many are weak. Sickness ravaged the body of men in the church because they dishonor their body. For this reason, many are weak. Many are sick among you. It said many even sleep. Sleep there means many even die. Dishonor is a dangerous cankerworm. It can take away the life of a man. Dishonor to God, dishonor to parents, dishonor to the church, dishonor to men can block your access to abundance of life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 to 6. Write that down when you get home. Go and read it. It talks about how the body has many parts, and yet each of the parts must learn to honor one another. But for our time's sake tonight, let's move forward. Reasons for dishonor. I run through this and I want you to pay attention. Why do people dishonor God? Why do people dishonor men? Why do people dishonor street systems and structures? Why do people dishonor men of God? Why do people dishonor their parents? Go, let me give you I'll give you like three or thereabouts of them. Number one reason why people dishonor most of the time is over familiarity. We saw this even in the life of Jesus, that even his brothers dishonored him. At a point they said, if you do miracle signs and wonders, go to the public now and show yourself. That's where people show themselves, because they have been so familiar, they ate together. I said it last week, he may be the last born of your family, is not your mix. Anyone anointed and separated for special assignment by God, with the anointing of God on him, you may be sleeping on the same bed, it's not your mate. Dishonoring him can bring death to your life. I show you the life of Miriam, Moses, and Aaron. Is that true? Miriam, I told you Moses was their elder brother, followed by Aaron, and then Miriam, their younger sister. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, and God judged them with leprosy. Over familiarity. Is he not my brother? What is big deal? Apostle. What's apostle? Is my brother. Somebody I saw when he was growing up. Somebody that we even share clothes together. Is he not my brother? And you watch that person. People will come and they bless from outside. And you see this person's life bankrupt of the things that his brother can offer. Is he not my husband? Is somebody that when we sleep together on the bed, he even snores. You people are now, he's not so much, okay, man of God. And you watch the life of this woman saying this. Bankrupt of the reality that man carries. Every man of God carries something for his generation. If you dishonor it, you will not have access to it. I'm not talking about human worship. I'm talking about communicating genuine honor over familiarity. Oh, I've seen people that given them little access to live with me for a while. You see the level of dishonor they communicate. No, this person cannot stay here anymore. Or you give some people access to come close. Maybe you now begin to call them and say, okay, I want to do this for me. And they become so used to that access. I told you again and again, every great man shut door against any man that communicates dishonor. Every great man. So because your boss at work now is your, you go along the same way when you are going home together. You know, you've seen him finish. That's the word in our language. See me finish. Now he's no longer. You know the pain I have with this generation. They don't have the ability to demarcate between friendship and structures. He may be your friend. But if it's your boss, it's your boss. There was a position that wanted to be given to me at my place of work at the time, and I had to beg them because of my busy schedule. It's going to be a regional position. It's going to be a regional, that's area position. I will be covering like 4 states, and I had to beg them, and the people spoke for me and said, this man does not have this time, please pardon him. And that position, I was part of those who make recommendation and said, this person, give it to him, we'll work with him. Guess what? That person they gave that position to happens to be my friend, actually looks up to me, even in that department, in states in another branch, looks up to me because of the transactions and the favor that the Lord gives me all of the time. But the moment the mail was sent that this person has been appointed, even though I was part of those who recommended him, the next call I placed through was, my Oga, how are you, sir? He said, stop that. I said, you are my friend, but you are my boss now. But many don't know that. Is it not this person? Is it not this person? And they are robbed of the benefit. Guess what? He speaks actually and anyhow to every other person. But when he goes, say, half an hour, you see the honor. Learn to demarcate between relationship. Wife, learn to demarcate between relationship. Sisters, learn to demarcate. It may be your younger brother, it may be your younger sister, but if the hand of God is on him, give him that regard. Give him that regard. Don't let access over familiarity blocks the way to honor. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 20 to 27. You can read that when you get home. That's the story of Noah. That the guy went in and said, come and see the nakedness of Papa. Papa is drunk. Oh. And look at the curse that man brought upon Canaan. Canaan now is Africa because of dishonor. When access is given to you by great men, you may see them finish. You may see the action of them you never thought existed. You may see it, sir. I had a privilege at the time to come so close with a very notable man of God in Ibadan here. I worked with him like a secretary or like a peep. And before I worked with him, I was looking at him from afar. This man moved in the anointing. This man moved in miracle working abilities. But the moment I was given access, I will now see the man that moved in the anointing sleep on the floor in his office. And he stand and say, Lord, you go and help me buy pastor, or go and help me buy this. As a child, I was growing into becoming too familiar with him. That when we now get to church and he say, now the power of God is coming. I say, which power of God? I beg. Until one day God nudged me and said, be careful. If I had sown that seed of dishonor, it would have been difficult for anyone that God sent to me to work with me in the ministry to ever honor me. I had to reframe myself. I did it so much that I stayed away from his office. I was practically avoiding him to give him that place. Over familiarity is very bad. You can be too familiar with your pastor. So much so that when he places a blessing on you, it doesn't work anymore. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is the reason why people will come to our church once and they will watch their life change. And you have been, you belong to 5 departments in that church. Me, I'm in the choir. And this thing is not working in my life. No. It is those who honor us that receive. He said, when you honor a man of God, you will receive what the man of God carries. Number 2 reason why people communicate dishonor. Number two is pride. Somebody say pride. A proud man will never see what to honor about another. Well, this is it. Is it not that he has ability to talk? Me too, I can talk more than him. Pride. Pride. We have so much done it that now we are comparing men of God to motivational speakers. You know pastors now. They are motivational speakers. No. 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 No motivational speaker can heal the sick. I can heal the sick. No motivational speaker can cast out the devils. I can cast out the devils. No motivational speaker words carry power. When I speak upon you, and that's why many of the time, when I pray for you, I wonder when the way you casually say amen for those who do that. Listen, let me tell you what happens every time I speak over you. Either I'm joking or I'm serious. Either I shout or I say it quietly. Every time I stand in my place in God over your life and speak upon you, you know what I'm doing? I'm programming the system and structures that would give birth to that which I've commanded. My word is not, is more than information. It's an instruction to the realm of the spirit. That while I'm standing and saying, in the name of Jesus, this new week, go and experience favor. That word is much more than hearing entering your ears. You are not the only one that had that word. The people that will favor you also had it. So when they see you, they will recognize that, no, there is something about you. Come. Words are means of programming atmosphere. As I say words, I heard the word from the Lord. And I declare that beginning from now, I program favor into all your days in the name of Jesus. That there will be no day that you will never experience favor in the name of Jesus. See, that's how God interrupts us sometimes. I'm just on my own and say, no, now that you have spoken about word, speak favor to their lives. And I have declared favor. You will come here with tears and share tears, some testimony of favor in the name of Jesus. One of us was looking for a house. I trekked everywhere around. He said, I can't see a house. And I called him and said, come. I put my hands on him and said, now I open your eyes. Go and see the house. The guy came back after 3 years and said, I've also seen a house. I said, so you passed that place before. Why didn't you see it? I know what happened. I know it. Bible says the Lord, Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of this guy. And his eyes was open. When Saul met Samuel, watch this. When Saul met Samuel, after that experience, he said, the camel and the donkey you are looking for has been found. What happened? When Saul met Samuel, what happened was that the camel, the donkey, suddenly realized that there's a change of atmosphere. They began to go back home themselves. That means when you meet a man of God that you truly honor, one of the things they carry for your life is restoration. That the giftings, the ability, the relationship that you have lost can be restored just by meeting a man and honoring them. Ask me, I will tell you again and again. How many things have been restored in my life by having an encounter with a genuine man of God and honoring him? He said, when you live here, you will meet three men. One will be carrying bread, one will be carrying wine, one will be carrying meat in their hands. He said, they will give you. Why didn't they give him before he came to meet the man? Every man of God carries something, sir. There's a deposit of eternity that rests upon every one of us. But if you don't honor it, you cannot receive it. Do you know I can lay my hands on you and pray for you, and that prayer does not work? Let me tell you the truth. Baba Adeboye can pray for you, and his prayer will not work in your life. The prayer of the man of God depends on many things to be made manifest in your life. One of them, chiefest amongst them, is your honor for that man. The centurion said, Master, I'm not worried that you come into my house. Speak the word only. I have that level of honor for you that when you speak the word, it will travel to my house and heal my servant. Jesus said, wow, I have not seen this level of faith that understands honor in the kingdom. Is it not amazing that the same man of God that prayed for the sick and the sick get healed, disappear from people's body, growth melt away. We pray for the wife over small headache, and the woman will say the sin is still there. Pride. Esther chapter 1 and verse 9. Note it down when you get home, go and read it. They called Vashti. The king is calling you. Said, no, me too, I'm a king in my own place. Is a king? Have you heard people talk like that? No. Forget. Even me, I'm in mind. And the guy saying that is obviously failing at the game of life. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm a man. I'm a man of myself. And you watch the person speaking. And you know that, no, don't worry. Time is a revealer. I have had many men, young men especially, make boast that they know what they are doing. And as time passes, you see the frailness and the failure of their life. Pride. Reason for dishonor again. Envy. Apostle. This guy. Is he the only one? People are gathering. They are increasing, though. Isn't that small fellowship where they are just five and they are just doing like they don't know what they are doing? Now they are increasing. They are even on the media. People from everywhere in the world. Wow. Okay, what is it? Even me, I can do it. And you watch that person's life go down. Everything you dishonor, you reject. Believe me, sir. Everything you dishonor, you reject. Somebody is influential. You dishonor the person by speaking against him. You reject a life of influence. Everything. So people communicate envy. People communicate jealousy or competitive spirit, and you watch their life pays for it. Why honor? I'll give us this one as line. There's really a place I want to settle down in 30 minutes, but I'll just read this one to us as line. Number one, why honor? Honor give birth to favor. Somebody say that after me with a loud voice now. I'm sure you know better now. Honor give birth to favor. Don't worry, just write it down. Proverbs 13, verse 5, verse 15. Proverbs 13, 15. Proverbs 13, 15. Look at what the Bible says. Good understanding. What does it happen? Gains favor. What is good understanding? Giving attention and honoring the law of knowledge. What will happen to you? You will gain favor. Favor. Many don't know, but they don't know. They are too know is too hyper. Have you met people like that? This is a car. And the way you drive it is that you stir the engine and then you want to say, you manage, say, I know. This is not brake, this is not accelerator. You say, okay, no problem. Okay, take the key, come and drive. You say, no, even on that, my shoe is high. Even on that, you are trying to teach somebody a mathematical equation. You say, wait, don't worry. Somebody was going to talk to my wife one day about mentorship. About mentorship. On this online business, obviously the Lord has given her a voice, outstanding success in that business. So that lady has been in the business very, very long time before she even joined. And then the lady called and said, hello, is that so and so mentioned our online business name? He said, not that you can mentor me, oh, I just want to ask one or two questions. You know, I think she put the phone on speaker. When the guy said it, the two of us looked at her and said, so why are you? I used to be like, not that I don't know it all. They don't know. They said, no, not that I don't know it all. So like you don't feel like I don't know it. But what is this thing? How can you know it now? The first thing that destroys a man is not ignorance. It's not acknowledging that you don't know. Those who are ignorant and say, I need knowledge, they are easily helped. But those who don't know, but they don't know that they don't know, or they know they don't know, they want to acknowledge that they don't know, they die in poverty. I've wasted my time once like that before. I was avoiding odor from a major road, so I enter the street. I was driving with confidence as though I know the road. People were passing by. Instead of parking and saying, sir, what is the way out of this place? Once all of a sudden I saw one woman who was also going in the front. My wife was in the car. and some other people. What's going in the front? I was told, yeah, this person is also avoiding the hold-up with navigation. She turned. And all of a sudden, we got to a place. She just parked and on. Pam, pam. And they came to open the gates. Not knowing that that woman was simply going to her own house. And I followed that home. And I had to turn back and start asking people, sorry, what's the way out of this place? That's how many of us live in life. You join the band of your fool. Okay, now, commercial science or arts. Where are you going? Say, commercial. Okay, commercial. This one, commercial. Okay, meet you, commercial. What is commercial about your destiny? You don't know. After 5 years, you now turn back and say, it's like art, it's art. Let me go and do art courses. What about the time you had wasted? Honor gives you access to favor. And one of the ways we communicate honor is by getting knowledge. Honor. What is favor? Favor is unusual access. When you honor people, they give you access into their hearts. Favor is unusual acceptance. Favor is unusual kindness. Honor opens doors. Honor opens doors. It gives you access to favor. Number two, why honor? Honor grants you access into the heart of men and systems. Esther chapter 5 and verse 6. Honor grants you access into the heart of men and systems. I shared a story with you last week. How I gained admission on the platform of honor. Honor. Look at Esther chapter 5 and verse 6. It said, at the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, what happened? The king called Vashti to come and display. Vashti said no. But this one knew how to erad the beauty of the king. And while they were having one of these moments, and he has delighted the heart of the king by honoring the king and displaying his majesty. Look at what happened next. The king said to Esther, what is your petition? That means when you honor men, they will ask you, what do you want? What is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Up to the half of the kingdom, it shall be done. Honor grants you access to the heart of men. Number three, honor grants you access to what men carries. This is very powerful. Honor grants you access to what men carry. Matthew chapter 13. From verse 53 to 58. Matthew 13, 53 to 58. It's a long reading. Are we there? Matthew 13, 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished this parable that he departed from thence. Next verse, sir. And when he had come to his own country. Somebody say his own country. Say it loud and clear. He taught them in their synagogue. So that they were astonished. Get what? The things he taught them, they were astonished at it. Look at the way they reacted. They said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Next verse. Is this not the carpenter's son? Over familiarity. We know your shop now. In fact, the stool you made for me 5 years ago is still the one I use in my kitchen. How come the carpenter is now displaying anointing? You. I know you now. I know you before you got born again. I know you. You now, you. You are preaching. Have you seen people like that? You are preaching to me. You won't know. You won't my knee. You didn't know that the soul you met yesterday has met with Samuel. And something has changed about him. This is the undoing of many families. Suddenly God will raise one of them and put an anointing on him that is enough to change the experience of that family. But they will say, is it not in you? Now we share boxers, we share singlet. In fact, he wore my clothes more than I wore his clothes. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? You have Mary's son now. We know you now. And they asked this, not his brother. And they began to mention James, Joseph, Simon, and even Judas. Look at what next happened because of this. And his sisters, are they not with us all? Where then did this man get all these things he's saying? Do you know that statistic has revealed that the people who suffer the very call of the anointing of most men of God and most great men are the people who are closest to him? You will be shocked that as powerful as Benihin is, he would have brothers who are sick and they refuse to go to him. I have often wondered, people that work with the great men, how come they don't turn out great? I asked my people one day a question. We didn't hear anything about the driver that drove Babalola. How come people serve in his house and never carry his grace? They see him every day. It's hard in this part of Africa to hear the stories of men that serve under the order and reproduce their greatness. It's very hard. Because while they were serving, they were too used to that grace. They saw it as a mere ability to do business. There is nothing special. Whereas somebody will travel from far distance and come and lead and say, sir, other people are doing business, so, but there is a way you are doing business. There is a grace on you. Please lay hands. And the guy will lay hands and the guy will go and reproduce that result verbatim. When you honor men, you gain access to what they carry. Let me tell you a story. It was told by a great man of God, and the story touched my heart so well. It's a story of a man of God, a pastor, over an assembly. This man will minister to people. They will come and share testimonies, miracles, signs, and wonders. He will speak to men, and they will enter their season of abundance. Doors will begin to open. But while he was doing that, his wife's business was going down. His wife's life was not reflecting what this man carried. People would travel from all over and come and receive, and they will literally share testimony under 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month of the amazing things that they encountered when they met this man. Then one day, watch this, the man stood in the church settings like this, and the wife was seated at the place that, you know, the woman of God sit beside the man. And while the wall was going on like this, the woman stood up and walked out. People were wondering, mama walked out, she's not back, what's going on? The man of God I was ministering to, you know, continued ministry, but was wondering, 30 minutes, my wife is not back, what could be going on? Okay, the man finished up and then closed the book, could not do much of counseling that day, rushed home. And then finally she got home. Watch this now. She got home and said, honey, what's going on? You rushed out of the meeting and were wondering, have I offended you? Did I say anything you didn't like? What's going on? The woman did not say anything. She went to the kitchen, according to the stories, opened the wardrobe and began to bring out those reserved plates. You know those plates that our mothers will reserve, as though one day when Queen Elizabeth comes to our house, that's the plate she will use. The woman began to bring the plate out. I'm talking to you, what's going on? The woman did not say anything. Arrange the plates on the tables, set the dinner, and then bring the food. No, I'm not going to eat if you don't talk to me. And then the woman went on her knees and said, man of God, your food is ready. Stop this now. We've been married for 25 years. What's all this drama we are doing? He said, no. Tonight, I'm not serving my husband. I'm serving the man of God. And then when the man sat down and was going to eat, he said, sir, man of God, sent by God, my home, my life, my business needs your grace. The man says, suddenly, the anointing that he used to feel in the church when he wants to pray for people that have come from the nations, he says, suddenly the anointing begin to well up upon him. Do you know that there are certain men we men of God enter into and we look like a common man? I'll give you an example. Every time I visit my parents and my brothers, I feel like a brother. And it's amazing how that happened until I found it that Jesus also felt that way. Bible said Jesus could not do many mighty works in their midst. So when we get back home, we become normal. You will be shocked that when any of my son is feeling, I'll be the one to say, let me get mercy for them. Not because I don't believe in the healing ability of God. You've seen many miracles happen here. We've seen fibroid disappear. We've seen lungs disappear. You've seen pain. You've seen all manner of miracles here. But there is something that called the anointing that produced miracles. He said the anointing surged. He said as he laid his hands on the wife, pow, he released it. 2 weeks or thereabouts after that encounter, things began to change. What happened? She has been living with that man. But the day she acknowledged what the man carries, she stepped into that reality. Matthew 10 and verse 41. Matthew 10 and verse 41. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 41. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus himself speaking. Matthew 10, 41, please. 41, please. Please walk with me. Jesus is speaking. And I want you to read it with a loud voice, the word of Jesus. Is it projected? Can you see it now? 1, 2, read it out loud. Come, sir. Let me demonstrate that scripture to you. Every man is multifaceted. Every man has different dimensions to them. So this man is somebody's brother. This man may be somebody's fiance. This man may be somebody's pastor. This man is somebody's surveyor. This man is somebody's mistress. Are we together now? This man is somebody's son. Is also somebody's elder brother. Every man is multifaceted. You know what brings out what you need? That side of him you honor determines the side of him you enjoy. Standing here before you, I am somebody's banker. When they call me, they want to hear the voice of their banker. Tell me my account balance, and I will tell them. That is the dimension of me. They press the button. A banker does not heal the sick. Because when you honor the dimension of banking, it will give you banking transaction. But also standing is some people's man of God. When they are sick, they believe when they lay hands, they will be healed. So the one who will treat me as a banker will not, even if I shake him 100 times and he has sickness, he will never be healed. Are we together now? There are dimensions in men. It is honor that brings them out. Not only in men, so also in God. Every aspect of God you honor determines the benefit you will have. Honor him as a giver, as your source, you will never lack what to enjoy. Honor him as the healer, you will experience the rougher dimension of him. Honor him as your director, the leader of your life, the one that gives you instructions on where to go. You will never like instructions. You see that now? So every aspect of a man is waiting for your honor. When you honor him as a brother, you will only get discussion about the family matters. Honor me as your brother. Am I your brother? Yes. What you will get is a discussion. Okay, how is mommy doing? Okay, what's this? Okay, how's that? And that is all. You will not be surprised and say, it's my brother. How come he's praying for me? He's not working. You honor a brother. And what you get is the reward of your brother. But he said, he that honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, even though the prophet is your brother, even though the prophet is your father, the day you press the button of prophecy, you will be surprised. One word from him that day will become a law that will guide your life. When you honor men, you enter what they carry. There are certain things I would never do. There are certain of my people here that I will call them and say, wait, this, forget about this. Is apostle calling me. This area, I don't know it. How will I do this one? And I will listen as they give me advice. Somebody was discussing about a building prayer. I said, wait, I have something that is good at that. And I called him. I said, brother, I need you to tell me about this surveyor. What is God doing? And it, and when he was giving me the instruction, I was saying, yes, sir. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Every man has an office. Every man has a class. When you dishonor them, you rob yourself of what they carry. You say your brother is the doctor. Let him recommend medicine for you to use. And say, nonsense. I backed you at this bargain. You will die. So your wife can also be a prophetess. That morning she's saying, only don't go out. She's not speaking as a wife. She's speaking as a prophetess. That morning she's saying, may money never finish in your heart. She's not psyching you as a wife, hoping to get another money from you. Mm-mm. She's speaking as a prophetess. There are times that we speak, not as men, but as custodian of divine mysteries. When you honor men, you access what they carry. I told you the story of my BM at the time. The Lord gave me instruction to go meet her. I told you how the grace landed almost immediately, and I began to speak. I have had God gave me instructions of recent to even my regional directors, my directorate directors, and I've gone to them with honor, and I've seen them. They don't have to be articulate in prayer. They don't have to say, oh Lord God, you are the King of glory, you are the ancients of this. The Bible says mm-mm. The guy may be a drunkard, but if he carry what you need, he's your man of God. I met a man as a customer at a time in my life, and through honor we became close. One day took my hands and showed me to a property he was building. You've heard the story before. Prior to that time, I believed that when you want to build a house, just build face might slap you, or build 3-bedroom or 4-bedroom and that is it, you are happening already. But this man took me to a house that has 2 floors apart from the ground floor. Building without exaggeration, his bedroom where he will sleep at night with his wife is as big as from this place to almost the end of that place. The whole hall is the bedroom. And he said, this is my house, this is where I live, this is where I'm preparing myself. I should have said, wait, how many people sleep in this room? He said, I'm the only one. Something began to happen in my head. And where I stood there, the Lord said, this guy is doing this thing and it's not affecting his business. There is a grace that makes things easy for me. Don't trivialize it. I am the apostle anointed. And I said, okay, sir, what will I do? And God gave me a very silly instruction. Watch this. He said, go and buy something for that new house that will reflect in all the rooms in that house. This house we are talking about has not less than 20 or 15 rooms. Toilet, bedroom, kitchen, and something that will show there. As I was now, what do I have? But when he has spoken, I know that he's more intelligent than my intelligence. I began to pray. And he gave me one seemingly stupid instructions. He said, go and buy, I think, a 10 liter of diesel. I'm talking about some 2 years or thereabouts ago. Go and buy a 10 liters of diesel. Take it to him. Call him when he's on that site. He has not moved in there. So he called me and said, Alan Raju, the place is done. We'll be moving next month. Come and see how beautiful the thing is. Because when I saw the place, I didn't behave like some of the people that work with him. They were behaving like though it's normal. I said, sir, this is big. And you have challenged my faith. So he knew that I appreciated that project. So he called me and said, we'll be commissioning this place any moment from now. So we'll come in next week. And the Lord said, it is time. So I rushed, borrowed Jerrycan, and bought it. But put the diesel inside a sack. And I went there. How far? I said, fine, sir. This person is a street person. He's not even in the context of a born-again person. So I'm not talking about one powerful anointed man of God. I'm talking about a street person. At his 40s. He said, how far? I said, fine, sir. He said, what are you carrying? I said, don't worry, sir. I said, let's go upstairs to that room. That is like a hall. I said, what is it now? I said, let's go there, sir. He said, oh God. Oh, do today, I said, we climbed. The PA followed us. I was praying that, Lord, send this person. And I said, bon, this is you I want to see. So he said, hey, can you allow you go out? So the person went out. And I went on my knees with my jerry can. I went on my knees. He said, what are you doing? Pastor, I'm telling you why we reacted. I said, sir, you don't need to be a pastor to be my man of God. I know that God has done this thing. I'm close to you. I know that this is not voodoo. If you have been using occulting power, God would have revealed you to me. This is the hand of God on a man. Sir, I need this grace. He looked up. He said, oh. I said, and this is what God asked me to do. He asked me to buy this. And he said, what's that? I said, diesel. He said, ah, do you know I just bought a big mechanical generator last week that we are here to even put this in and to start at all? They've run the wire. He said, that means you are going to be the first person that will do it. I said, so we stood up. We poured the generator. Guess what happened? The moment they on the generator, the light in all the rooms switch on. God said, you see that you can do one thing that will touch all the rooms. He said, now let's go upstairs. We get there, on the lights, the beautiful POP, everything shining. I was looking as though I was in heaven. You know, my own background is not like your background. You were born in a plane now. Me, I stayed 25 years of my life in a place where I slap your apartment, where we will carry the center table, put it on the chair before we sleep at night. So I went on my knees. He prayed the prayer not well constructed. You know, if I were the one praying that kind of prayer, I know the scripture to use. He was just saying, he will mix Yoruba with English. Meaning, to be well with you, things will be easy for you. And suddenly the Lord began to help me order his tongue. He said, I don't know what I have done to God that have given me this grace. I don't struggle to do things. Even me, sometimes, when I count the cost, I imagine, you mean we spend hundreds of millions and I didn't feel it? Business is not going down? He said, that grace, I know his grace. I know it's the grace of God. May that grace also work for you. I said, amen. I stood back there. What I will only tell you is to watch out. Because in a couple of months and of years, I will bring you and tell you, do you remember that story? This is what the story brings. I know how to receive grace. When I see grace in a man, I don't jettison it. I tap it. I don't tap it in a foolish way that you come and touch somebody's shoe and say, I tap. No. How to communicate honor. 5 things. I'm rushing through it and then we are done. Number one way to communicate honor to God, to man, is obedience. 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 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. John chapter 14 and verse 21 to 24. If you obey my words, and then I will love you and will make our abode with you. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. John chapter 14 and verse 21 to 24. Number two way to communicate honor is your disposition and your conduct. Many of us don't know how to stand before great men. Many of us don't know. Never make this mistake again in your life. Come, bro, look at it. I know you are writing. Come. Never make this mistake again in your life. You are discussing with someone and saying, oh, man, now. Show more. Okay, yeah. Don't make that mistake. Is the mistake of the fool, especially to those who are ahead of you. You are talking to the person, you are tapping in. It's a sign of dishonor. And number two, when you stand before great men, don't talk too much. Listen more. Listen more. What do you know to impress them? Your result is obviously showing what you know. Listen, the extent of your result is the boundary of your knowledge. So we already see all that you know. You are standing before somebody who has gotten married, who is raising children, who is having a peace in marriage, and you are discussing marriage. You are contributing. What do you have to contribute? All you have is girlfriend or boyfriend. What do you have to contribute? Somebody is telling you how to run a home that you are successful run in 5 years, in 4 years, raising children, and you are discussing marriage and saying, wait, even me, my girlfriend said, your girlfriend said what? You listen. Or somebody has secured employment. He's now telling you, you see, when you go for an interview, this is how to go. You say, no, I know. Even you, and you don't have a job. What do you know? If you will listen more on the platform of greatness, you will get more knowledge than you will ever think in your life. When I go to some of these great people that the privilege of the job I do give me access to, where we are distant, I'm listening. There was one day I went to them and said, hey, but wait, this one, tell me how this one come. He said, oh, you ask too many questions, get away. I said, Egmo, yeah, now I will whine you until I get what I need. When I get what I need, I will get back home and go and, even if you give me the street sense, I will go and convert that street sense to a kingdom sense. Because every street sense has a derivative from the kingdom, only maybe perverted most times. Listen, how do you comport yourself? You are standing before a man that is great, you are chewing gum. I'm listening. Somebody is talking to you, and the person is talking to you like this, and you are looking away. I'm with you, or you are pressing your phone. A great man is talking to you, sharing what makes him. Many times they don't tell you, let me tell you the story of my life. When you listen to them, you pick their stories from there. Suddenly they are talking about business. They'll say, that was how I started in 1994. Okay. And I had almost 500,000 with me, which was almost nothing. And your mind will open up immediately. How can somebody start a business that is now worth billion with 500,000? That is when to listen. That is when to ask questions. So, Egmo, how did you now do it? You said you have 500,000. You rented shop and everything was like 300,000 already. 200,000. And it became what it is now. How did you now do it? Don't say, I know. Even me. My POS business that I'm doing. Listen. He's teaching you how to do business and enter into millions. You are selling rice in cups. Somebody sell in trailer. You are saying, we are all rice dealer. Is that not what we do? What do you deal in? Rice. What do I deal in? Rice. Are they both rice dealers? Somebody work in oil company. You work in palm oil company. You say we are oil workers. We are oil workers. You are not oil workers. I know you are laughing, but listen. When I come across great men, I want to hear their stories. God gave me a strange instruction at the time to go and meet 7 great men of God in Ibadan. Those whose name resound the globe. So I know that sometimes I spend like 1 month, 2 months for meeting each of them. And when I go there, I'll go with a seed. While I knelt down, they will speak. Most all of them said the same thing, seeing what the Lord has said, spoken to me about the future, about the movement. And when they will say, that was how in 1940 or in 1970 or in 1960, we did this, and this, I say, I'm picking it. That consistency makes greatness. Your composure. In the church of God, how do you compose? Many of us cannot sit down for 5 minutes. Somebody came in not up to 10 minutes now, has gone out like 3 times. No, I'm sorry, but let's talk about it. What are you looking for? Before you sit down, you go out. Before you sit down, you came late, you are still running up and down. If you don't want to come, stay at home. These are people that will go for interview. They will promise them 8 o'clock. They will still be seated by 6 in the evening. But when they come to God's presence, there is no honor. Your composure must be a person of honor before God. Number 1, obedient. Number 2, disposition and conduct. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 5. And then you read 14 into 15. It said, the Bible says that and David comport himself wisely before the king. Comport himself wisely before all men. Don't sit down and slump. When you are sitting before great men and you are seated, say, oh yeah. One of my brothers, his father was talking to him on the phone, and then he was carried away. He was in school, and he said, yeah. He said, what did you say? He said, sorry, yes. Say, yeah. A great man is talking to say, yeah. Number 3 is true words. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. True words. Communicate honor. True words. Words. Let your words be polished with honor. Sir. Use the word like sir. This thing doesn't reduce you. We are going to pray now. But you need to get all this. It doesn't reduce you. Well done, sir. Welcome, sir. Oh, how are you, ma? It doesn't reduce you. It elevates you. Use the word like sir. When we were younger, we were threatened by mother. If you are still doing that, you are still a child. You are meeting somebody for the first time. Don't be the one to first say, I will call you by name. Those things doesn't make sense anymore. Oh, bros, how are you, sir? Oh, ma, how are you, ma'am? Through your words. Number four, through giving. Proverbs 3:9. Give unto God. Give unto your parents. Give unto your spiritual parents. Many of us, when your man of God see you, he know you have had another bad dream. Another bad dream. You never go there and say, sir. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about your pastors. You know, I will never. I'm never going to demand anything from you. Go to your pastors and say, sir, for the word you brought us last week, it has changed my life. Here is it. You don't have to give them 1 million naira. Send them the charge card of 200 naira. Send them the charge card of 500 naira. Send them. Honor them by giving. Many of you don't know that your men of God are also men. They have needs. I sent a token to a renowned man of God in the world one day, and I was surprised by the text message the person sent to me. I said, wait, 1,500 airtime, and you gave me this loads of blessing. I took that blessing to the prayer room the next 1 month in the night. Lord, your servant said this, and I saw everything he said in my life. That's how far it goes. You know that a great man, an average great man, is exposed to people coming to say, give me, give me, give me. So when you come to say, I've not come to say give me, I've only come to say take, sir. It's strange. That's how God treats praise giver specially. Everybody say, Lord, do. But when you come and say, Lord, I just come to say thank you, I don't have any request, just to say you have done it all. Those are the people the Bible says God is looking for. Give to them. Give to your parents. Send them here time. You may not have much, but send them here time. Give to your boss. In fact, I'm instructed by the Lord to give you this instruction. Every one of you that has a job that is doing, or there is somebody over your life that is a boss or a team lead, when you get to office on Monday, go and buy something for them. For what? Not for anything, sir. Just to appreciate you for giving me the privilege to work in your company. For giving you the privilege to work in your team. I have observed a grace of leadership in you. I covet it. Here is a bottle of water of 100 naira. Sir, take this. I'm telling you what I have done in my life. And finally, true service. True service. Serve men. Serve men. When you serve men, you receive, you have access to what they have. Service connects you to the inheritance that a man carries. Service with a pure heart, service with genuine love, service with immunity, service with reverence, service serving the church. Wash the car of your man of God. That does not mean slavery, with honor. I know that many men of God have abused this, but that does not change the law of God. Also, polish their shoes. Sometimes go to and say, car, can I go and wash your clothes this week? Service, it connects you. Elijah served his way to having double portion of what Elijah carried. Service. Jacob served his way to having access to what the father-in-law has. Service. Moses served until he has his own too. Service. When we serve God, we access the resources God has. When we serve men, we access what men also represent. Service. Service. Somebody, you might need to just clean the chair. Sir, what are you doing? Just to clean your chair, sir. Oh, sir, when you come, just on, I'll come and be picking your bag from the car. Your mate will laugh at you and say, I service. But you know what you are doing. Let it be a genuine service from your heart. Go to your lecturer with a bottle of water. Not one exam is coming. The guy just finished teaching you in the class and went to his office. Sir, just a bottle of water for you, sir. What do you want? Nothing. I just saw that the way you taught us from your heart. He might not say much, but he will note you. Not when the exam is coming, I say, sir, your course, this is the bottle of wine, your course. That's bribery. That's not giving. Rise up on your feet. Let's go. The same way we prayed last week, in 2 minutes, you are going to pray. I'm sorry that I had to rush a lot of things, because I didn't want this law to split into part three. But I'm going to pray, Lord. Everywhere I have communicated dishonor and door has been shut against me, by your mercy, Let the doors be open. Let the doors be open by your mercy. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Everywhere I've communicated dishonor and door has been shut against me as a result of that, by your mercy, let your doors be open. Dishonor against parents, dishonor against God, dishonor against men of God, by your mercy, Father, let the doors be open. Is somebody praying? Is somebody praying? Dishonor to wife, dishonor to husband, dishonor to your team leads, dishonor to your lecturers, dishonor to your father, to your mother, to your supervisor. There are shut doors, there are shut access against you, Lord, by your mercy. By your mercy, let the doors be open. I vow to communicate honor to them. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. I declare over you that every door that dishonor has shut, by the mercy of God, they are open tonight in the name of Jesus. And every law and principle that you are dishonoring, that is the reason for your pain and stagnation, may the Lord open your eyes and enable you to honor them in the name of Jesus. And as you go out communicating honor, honor to God, honor to men, honor to systems and structures, I decree, may doors be open unto you in the name of Jesus. May doors be open unto you in the name of Jesus. May doors be open unto you in the name of Jesus. Everywhere you go this week, experience the favor of God. I decree it from my office, sent from God to you. Everywhere you go this week, experience the favor of God. That very desire that looks impossible, I say receive supply in the name of Jesus. Receive the call that settles it in the name of Jesus. May the Lord keep you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
We believe that you've been greatly imparted. To get more updates about the movement and to download our messages, visit www.ariseshinechristiannetwork.com.
Also, you can join us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and MixLR at ArriseSCM.
Or you can also reach us on WhatsApp or call us on 0705314-5157. Keep shining.
The King.